With Tanami over the past 5 years, we've had a pretty lean spell. Production hasn't delivered the promises that they've made, and exploration has been cut, and our total costs have been just way too high. So over the last 3 years, we've got ourselves into a position where we've improved. We've more than doubled our production, and we've got our total costs down to below $1,000 an ounce. And that enabled us to put a plan forward that showed future growth, put a strategic plan down on the table, so to speak. And the expansion project was about debottlenecking the Anagram mine, which then led to the mine producing more than what the mill can handle. And then we need to spend money on the mill so we can increase the throughput there. By doing that, the business plan that we were able to develop showed us adding about 80,000 ounces a year to the production profile and saving about another $50 an ounce total cost year on year. And, you know, for $120 million, we were kind of saying that you give us that money now, we'll give that money back to you in 3 years' time and continue to build a long life. So it just gives us a good foundation for future growth.
And it's fairly remarkable that you're even talking about an expansion project, given in 2013 there was serious consideration given to closing the mine.
Yeah, that's correct. I think in at the end of 2012, you know, the gold price had hit about $1,800 an ounce. And at that stage, Tanami operation actually lost $110 million US that year. Right? So not a good mine that you want to spend more money on. So at the end of 2012, the company made a decision to look at, you know, either closing the mine or selling the mine. During that same period, though, we had a change of leadership, and we kind of built on what the guys before us had done. And we started focusing on basics, getting, you know, every day putting a plan on the table and then actually meeting their plan. By doing that, we were able to start building confidence and buy back our credibility. So where we ended up at the end of 2013 is that we actually produced about 100,000 ounces more than what we budgeted. And that gave Newmont enough food for thought to go, okay, wait a minute, let's not sell the operation. Let's keep it ticking over and see how we can continue to grow the operation. So you're right, you know, end of 2012, our total cost was over $2,000 an ounce, so we made a significant loss. And we produced about 178,000 ounces of gold. Where we are at the end of 2015, at the time of asking for money for the expansion, is, you know, we'd taken production all the way up to 436,000 ounces, and we've got our total cost down to about $730 an ounce. So great foundation for the company to go, yep, here's your $120 million, now go and expand the place.
You're the largest of the remaining two gold producers in the territory, but it's not just gold that's struggled in the last few years. Other miners have dropped off. It must be a really difficult environment to be operating in as a manager of a mine like this.
Yeah, I think you know, the challenge always comes down to trying to ignore what the market is doing and focusing on what you do day in, day out, so the things that you can control. And that's kind of what we worked with the teams at the mine was, look, you know, we can't control what Newmont thinks of us, or we can't control what the gold price does. We can't control what other companies are doing within the territory. All we can control is what we can control. So let's manage the rest. Let's control what we can control, get our costs right, get our safety right, get our production right, and that'll give us opportunities going forward. We've always known that we have a good ore body. We've just never really believed in it in ourselves. So we've built that belief internally. And to be honest, when you're looking at what's happening within the industry, you know, it's great to be able to sit here and say, look, you know, we're able to not only keep them on going, but we're going to increase the size of it and get bigger and bigger as we go. But you're right. You know, I think at the time when we were about to be sold or closed down, you know, there were a few decisions made by government at the time that kind of went against us, which has increased the pressure on our operating environment, which is never good.
And you're now paying more royalties than you have in the past.
Yeah, I suppose it's a good news story, right? In 2012, when I first started there, we actually had a team of the ministers come to site, and we showed them our royalty profile going forward. And at that stage, you know, the royalties that we would have paid to the NT would have been minimal, almost negligible in terms of dollars. Because of the success we've had and everything we've done in the last 3 years, where we are now is that, you know, the royalties we paid in 2015 were actually more than what we've paid the preceding 7 years. And the royalties that we're projecting for the next 10 years will be more than the last 28 years of mine life. So, you know, we're back to being a significant contributor to the NT economy. At the same time, you know, about half our people live in the NT. So, you know, there's that added benefit that comes into it, along with using small contractors and the like from the NTU to help boost our performance.
So what stage is that expansion at as we speak now? You announced it several months ago. I imagine it will take some time to get up and running.
We announced in October that we were going to start the expansion, but we had already started with a portion of it. So there's two pieces to the expansion at this stage. One is an underground piece where we have a single decline underground, and we have 17 trucks driving up and down that decline, so a lot of congestion. So the first step was to clear that congestion, and we had a 3.2-kilometre tunnel we wanted to develop, what we call a decline, so that we can have one-way traffic on that decline. And with that, we actually started that in May last year. The plan was to finish that in June, July this year, 2016. And I'm happy to announce that as of last week, we actually finished the decline. So 3 months ahead of schedule, within budget. So a nice step going forward. We're busy with a large ventilation upgrade. So we're actually sinking the ventilation shaft. That work will be finished by the end of this year. And that'll be the underground mine debottleneck, so to speak. Now, the next piece then is the actual mill itself, the process plant. That mill's been there for 28 years. The maximum it can handle is about 2.3 million tonnes per year. And with the underground expansion, we're going to be producing about 2.6 to 2.8 million tonnes a year. So we need to spend money on the mill. Needless to say, there's a whole bunch of metallurgists and processing guys running around really excited, because it's the first time in 28 years we're going to spend money on them. But you know, where we're going to be there is that expansion is just kicking off now. There's a bit of demolition that needs to happen for some old pieces of gear. That's just kicked off as of last week. And as we go through this year, we'll start, each time we have a shutdown, we'll start adding in pieces of gear. The plan is by the end of March next year to have the bulk of it done, and by the end of May next year is to have the second mill up and running, and the mill then starting to ramp up to full production by the end of next year.
So by the end of next year, how many jobs do you expect to be employed on site?
Yeah, I think during the construction period, we'll probably peak at about 85 additional jobs. And then that'll obviously scale back to continuous workings, which will probably add about 18 people. So it's not a huge addition in terms of people to the mine site. What it does mean, though, is that we're bringing more skills into the business, and we're going to be setting ourselves up for the next expansion. And the next expansion is something we're just starting to investigate right now. We're doing a bit of drilling, trying to get a bit of exploration done, and then that'll then boost our production yet again, which I'm hoping to start presenting at the back end of next year.
We've previously heard from the company that there are some large deposits around that site that may keep the mine going for some years.
Yeah, I think most of our exploration over the past 3 years has been what we call near mine exploration. So we've been targeting increasing the current size of our underground deposits. And I'm pleased to say there is that, you know, we've had the Kelly deposit, which has historically been the main deposit there. And at the back end of 2006, we actually developed into another ore body. And we spent a bit of money, and at the end of 2012, we actually classified another ore body, which is called Auron, and that happens to run parallel with Kelly. Now, both those, the current business plan mines both those ore bodies down to about 1,400 metres below surface, and we know that both those ore bodies keep going at depth. We also, we will announce this year that there's two more ore bodies that we have found. One of them is called Federation, and one of them is called Liberator. Both those ore bodies are new to us, and kind of, you know, a new take on where our geology is going. And the geologists have done a great job in terms of finding the ore body, and now we're busy increasing the size of it. But both those ore bodies will add another, you know, 3 to 6 years of mine life at least, and that isn't in any of our business plans at the moment. So the future expansion is about focusing on what happens at depth, and we believe that Auron and Kelly keep extending to well beyond 2 kilometres of depth.
Sounds like some busy years ahead. Francois, thanks very much for having a chat with the Country Hour.
No problem. Thank you very much.